I'm so excited to have all of you here today as I preach my first sermon. I wouldn't want to give it anywhere else, but before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I cannot do this alone. You carry me and you lift me up. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As I began to prepare for this morning, I felt called to reflect on sermons that have been important in my life. God has highlighted important moments in my life with personal and powerful sermons. I remember the very first Sunday we visited Clemens First Baptist Church. Jeremy was in the middle of a series on Nehemiah. To be quite honest, I don't remember anything about Nehemiah. But every time I read Nehemiah, it takes me back to my first day here, all the beautiful people I met, and the atmosphere that still brings me back every Sunday to this day. I also remember the first sermon I heard at summer camp. Rick Kleinard was the speaker, and he was speaking on sin by comparing sin to a cliff, and that we should run as far away from it as we can. And I still run away from that cliff as much as I can. But that message came as I was just getting a new passion for learning about the Lord. I also learned about Scott's sermon that was based around his iceberg analogy, when he discussed the parts of you that are seen and the parts of you that are unseen, comparing it to an iceberg floating in the water. And he started that sermon series the day I was baptized. Most recently, Don's Gospel Sense series came as I was beginning to look at my plans after high school. Each of these sermons has come at a vital moment in my walk with God. That's why they're so valuable to me. I'm excited to speak this morning because I want my sermon to be for all of you what those sermons were to me. I would love it if you would join me this morning in grabbing your Bible and opening to Psalm 23. If you didn't bring one, there should be one in the pew in front of you so you can follow along as I speak. Psalm 23 is probably familiar to most of you. Many of us probably memorized it when we were in nursery, or you heard it at a funeral or spoken at a different sermon at another time. It's a beautiful piece of scripture, that's why it's spoken so much, comparing our relationship with God to that of a sheep and a shepherd, God being the shepherd and we are the sheep. And I always loved the first verse where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." But when I would get to verse 4, I would be confused. It says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I never really understood how a rod and a staff could bring me comfort. And as I began to study it, I realized I didn't really know what a rod or a staff really was. When this was written, shepherding was one of the most common practices or trades at the time, and so it made more sense to them. But I had to do a little deeper dive to understand what was going on. So, like any young person, I Googled it. And it said that a rod is a short, heavy defense weapon that a shepherd would use to keep his sheep safe if a wolf or a lion would come. It's heavy, it's club-like, is what Google told me. And all it made me think of was the wooden bat we've always had in my basement at my house. We keep it there, and we would go out on during the summer and play baseball. But it's the same kind of concept. It's short because you can only reach so far, because it's not for reaching out and grabbing things. It's protecting when they get close, when things come to you. And God is our shepherd, and he has a rod. But that still doesn't explain to me, what is he doing with this rod, and what does that have to do with me? Some of you may know I have played soccer for as long as I can remember. I absolutely love soccer. I like the freedom of the open field and the strategy involved. But as much as I love soccer, I hated playing goalie because you're stuck in one spot, I'm not very good at it, and it's very high stress and a lot of pressure is put on you. I remember one time we went to a game and we were preparing and our goalie didn't show up. So coach decided to put me in the goal. It was just not ideal. I wasn't excited. But here I am. Nevertheless, I'm in the goal because I don't get a say. I'm waiting for the ball to come. And not even 5 minutes into this game, the ball comes rolling at me. It's not even anything, really. It's a pass, practically. It's rolling on the ground. I should have been able to stop it, but I don't react quick enough, and the ball goes in the goal. My team's not happy. I'm not happy. But the coach didn't make me play goalie again. So I may not be a talented goalkeeper, but the principles of goalkeeping are very similar to those of a shepherd and his rod. We, the sheep, are the goal. We're still and unable to do anything to stop the ball. God is the goalkeeper. He moves to protect us from danger, the soccer ball in this case. But unlike me, God never misses. No ball will ever get to us, the goal, because God is the best goalkeeper that any of us could ever imagine. The danger is never out of his control or beyond his reach. When a shepherd protects his sheep, he stands over them, holding the rod up to defend them. They're right there next to him. They're close up. And he surrounds us, God does, to protect us from the enemy. In John 10:11, as we read earlier, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus defended us from death, from the cost of death. He protected us because he loves us. Because of our sin, we were lost, like a sheep without a shepherd. We were headed for that cliff. But God loved us and sent his only son so that we would not have to die, that we would live eternally with him. He forgave our sins, and Christ shed his blood in our place. He was the perfect sacrifice and satisfied God's wrath for sin. But death did not defeat him. Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, and is now interceding for us. The rod comforts us because it's proof that God is surrounding us and defending us. God is calling us to stand firm and remember the righteousness he offers us in Christ. God doesn't want us to run. He wants to protect us and use the hard moments to grow and strengthen us. He wants us to stand still, be the goal. He's going to take the first step. He's going to block the enemy from getting to us. All we need to do is trust in him. But that's only half the equation, right? It says God's rod and his staff comforts us. If God's rod is his defense over us, what's his staff? Well, once again, thanks to the power of Google, I know that a staff is long and narrow and has a crook on one end. So I brought in a example of a staff. It's pretty nifty, if I do say so myself. But this staff is much longer because it's not for defense. This is for the shepherd to pull his sheep closer to him. If they're headed towards danger, or they've fallen over, or they're moving away from where he wants the flock to go, he gently nudges the sheep back to where he wants them to be. He protects them, and he pulls them closer. It's like a lifesaver they use on boats. You can throw it out and pull it back in over and over and over, no matter how many times the person falls in the water. He is constantly pulling you towards him because God wants a relationship with you. The God of the heavens and earth wants a relationship with each and every one of you. The God who created every single cell in your body and every single mountaintop wants you. I think it's important that we look at the fact that God could have asked for anything from us. He is God, after all. He could have been like the people at Carowinds who are like, "You must be this tall to ride." He could have been like, "You must be this tall to be called my child." But he didn't instead. He could have been like, "Everyone must bring an orange to the altar every Sunday to be called my child." He could have said, "You have to speak German for me to love you." But he didn't. All he asked for was for us to pursue a relationship with him. He wants us so badly. That's all he asks for. Jesus said it best. He said that when we finally stand before him, we will hear one of two things: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or, as he says in Matthew 7:23, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." The biggest shortcoming we can have in Jesus' eyes is missing the chance to have a relationship with him. I heard a sermon once about learning to recognize God's voice. The preacher said that as we continue to read the word and immerse ourselves in it, we can learn what the voice of God sounds like from here, so that as we go out into the world, we can recognize it out there. We can hear when God is speaking to us through friends, or through a billboard on the road, or any other situation. We know it's God's voice because we've been in here where it is God speaking directly to us. We also learn what isn't God's voice. When something is leading us away from the plan that he's laid out right here. Every relationship is two-sided, and our relationship with God is no different. God is feeding into us. He listens to us and speaks to us through his word, but we must respond. We need to listen to God, and we need to read his word and learn his voice. In our relationship with God, we must speak to him. This is largely done through prayer, but it's not just done through on-your-knees, head-bowed prayers. He listens to all your prayers in all their forms. Maybe it's a single phrase you lift up before a scary surgery. Maybe it's a powerful prayer with a friend. I know I like to take a moment in my car in the mornings and just turn down my music and pray to God and talk to him about my day. Just the highs and lows, everything that's going on, just spill it all out. Now, obviously, my eyes aren't closed. My head isn't bowed. I would hope not, anyway. But I'm still talking to God. I'm having a moment with him that is, it's regular for me, it's balanced, and I know that that's where I can go to talk to God. No matter how you do it, it's so important that we're reading God's word and praying about the important parts of our relationship with God in every moment of every day. What I love about this relationship is it can't be taken away. Christ gives us the freedom to approach God. When we sin or feel far from God, we have the freedom to tell God about it. You have a relationship with him. He is always inviting you to draw near. In John 15, Jesus tells us to abide in him. To abide means to dwell. We don't just dwell anywhere. We live in a house, but we dwell in a home. We dwell in a safe space that's personal and sacred. Jesus is saying to dwell in him by finding comfort in him, just as we do in our own home. We should never feel unworthy of a relationship with him. No matter what we do, he will never love us any less. If you're a Christian, you have been marked with the seal of the Spirit, and all your guilt has been wiped away. If you are not a Christian yet, pray to him. Confess your sin, and he is faithful to cleanse you from unrighteousness. We should never feel unworthy to turn to him. In every situation, turn to him. If you don't take away anything else today, I want you to get these points. Looking at the rod, we can remember that God is our defender. He wants us to stand firm and trust him to protect us and to strengthen us. And God is longing for a relationship with us. He is pulling us closer with his staff, and we need only to look to Jesus. So now, when you look at Psalm 23, you can focus on that and have some more visual about this rod and this staff, that these weapons of war that shepherds would use, that they're powerful tools that God is using us to bring him closer. He's protecting us with his rod. He's pulling us closer with his staff because he wants a relationship with each and every one of you so badly. He longs for a relationship. That was kind of quick, but we can go ahead and close in prayer if you would join me. God, my protector and my redeemer, thank you for carrying me through the sermon this morning. I pray that as we leave this place, we can rest in the assurance that you are our protector, and that in our life, you long for a relationship with us. God, as your congregation leaves, let them be the hands and feet of Jesus, basking in the love and grace that you freely provide us. We pray all this in the name that reigns eternal, Jesus Christ. Amen.